Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. All of our great stations across the country, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and the ESPN app. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. Happy birthday to our producer, Pat Costello.
Hey. It is his birthday. Happy birthday.
He responded with one of the worst responses in birthday history to me this morning.
Wow, what is it?
I texted him very early in the morning, happy birthday, and he responded with a crying face emoji and then said, thanks, man.
Wait, that makes, like the tears?
Yes, that makes me think I got it wrong, that it was not his birthday. Who responds with a crying face emoji to a birthday text?
Who texts someone at 4:26 in the morning, happy birthday?
That's a great point.
Pat, that's not a great point. But I know you're up.
But no, it's not a great point, Canty, because he works on the show.
Exactly.
He's coming in.
I just thought it was funny. It was like you set your alarm to say happy birthday. That's why I thought it was funny.
No, I knew it was your birthday. I texted you early. Thank you, Nuno. I appreciate you having my back on this. We all work the same shift.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm texting somebody that it's not on this show.
Yeah, but you need a little runway to ease into your day, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to hear from people before 5 o'clock. Like, after 5 o'clock, everything is fair game because we're on the air in the hour. But from 4 to 5, like, I need that for me time. Like, I need to find, you know, the right vibes to transition into my day. Like, it's very violent to wake up around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and have somebody text you 10 minutes within waking up saying happy birthday. As much as I appreciate the acknowledgement, a little too early for the love, dog.
But
a little too early for it, Ev. It's
but
too early.
Isn't it on brand for Evan that he would want to be the first one
to text somebody? So it makes it about him and not about Pat.
Correct.
Great. Okay.
Correct.
All right. So now we know what we're doing.
He wants it acknowledged that I woke up and the first thing I thought of was, it's your birthday.
So it's not truly altruistic. It's him making sure he beats everybody else to the point.
It's just winning.
Okay.
See?
Just winning.
Okay, it's winning.
But Pat's wrong. I mean, if
you you're wrong. You make it about you, and it's his birthday.
How did I make it about me by saying happy birthday to him?
You made it about him.
Because it was 4 a.m.
Oh, my God. So if I waited 34 minutes, it would have been about him. That's crazy.
I mean, this is a big birthday for Pat. I mean, this is
30?
This is the last one before.
29?
29.
This is the last one before, like, you transition.
You're 29, Pat?
Yeah.
Smalls is shocked by that.
No, I just didn't know his age.
It's a hard 29.
So he said it's a hard 29.
Does Pat look 29? We can get him on camera for a sec, Pat. I think
his hairline looks 59.
Oh, no. Why?
But he's 29, but his hairline looks 59.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now it's on you. Now, anything I would have done wrong is now on you.
I mean,
you just said that a guy who's 29 looks 59.
Yeah, I mean, that hairline is fading away like MJ in 98.
My God.
God damn.
Not wrong.
Oh, my God. Okay, on that note.
Hey, man, ain't no lies told. That's the truth. We are not going to sit here and lie to the people. It's too early for lies. It's too early for that.
Pat, maybe has had a worse day than John Calipari. Yes, Pat?
I was just trying to get to 30 before I shaved it all off.
I don't know.
Is that going to be something that happens at 30, though?
I don't know. Tune in next year.
Pat, I will say this. I don't know if you're going to have the luxury of being able to make it, partner. Just like Kentucky ain't going to make it to the second weekend of the tournament.
Like his hair or alive?
He's going to talk about his hair. Why are you being morbid?
Anyway.
I mean, it did sound like a threat a little bit.
It did sound like that.
It sounded like you were really going to knock him off.
What?
You're like, I'm not sure if you're going to make it.
No, I said, I'm talking about the hairline.
I know. We just have to be clear about that. Everybody thought you were going to kill Pat. Anyway, Kentucky lost to Oakland last night. The NCAA tournament gets underway. First full day yesterday. And the biggest story in the tournament by far is Oakland, a 14 seed, beating Kentucky, a 3 seed, 80-76. And this is an amazing story. Let's first make sure we give Oakland the credit, because I know today is going to be a lot about John Calipari and Kentucky. Jack Golkey, the big-time three-point shooter, 32 points last night, 10 of 20 from behind the arc. This season alone, this guy has taken 355 field goal attempts, 347 of them were three-pointers.
Yeah, only eight shots.
Only eight non-three-point shots attempted this year for this guy.
That's ridiculous.
So they are moving on in the NCAA tournament. They will face NC State in the next round as NC State upsets as an 11-seed Texas Tech. But this story today is going to be about John Calipari in Kentucky. They're 1-4 in their last five tournament games. They have not gone to the Final Four since 2014-2015. They have not made it past the second round since 18-19. One of those years was with no tournament because of COVID, and they have not won the title since 11-12. And John Calipari has won title at Kentucky, and he is considered this unbelievable big-time coach. He has the same amount of titles at Kentucky as Tubby Smith does, who's not considered a big-time coach in relation to John Calipari. Same amount of titles as Rick Pitino. The question that always pops up, and I put it out there on Twitter at Upco Radio, is what is his job? Is his job to produce pros or to win college basketball games, Smalls? Because that's where the debate comes in with John Calipari.
Well, I think the job is to do both, but I don't think that he's been as successful with the second one as he is with the first one. He's obviously always recruiting talent that is a feeder program into the NBA, but from a results standpoint, from a championship perspective, which is what the measuring stick is for Kentucky fans, he has come up short recently.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, he's always been able to recruit at Kentucky. I mean, he's got five players that are on this team that were all inside of the top 25 when he recruited them a year ago. Uh-huh. Like, those guys are immensely talented players, but he hasn't necessarily been able to make that translate into having success in the tournament. This is the worst five-game stretch that Kentucky has had in the NCAA tournament. So when you consider the fact that they've been knocked off by double-digit seeds two of the last three tournaments, I just think this is when you have to reevaluate the program and wonder whether or not Cal has lost his touch in terms of being able to harness all of that talent and translate into being able to win banners and win championships. And that's what he's going to be judged on at Kentucky. It's about putting banners in Adolph Rupp Arena. That's all that matters there. And so the fact that you have all of these guys that are in the NBA doing their thing, you got Jamal Murray, you got Anthony Davis, amongst others, that's all well and good. But you have to have success this time of year. And contrary to what he said in the post-game press conference, this is how you're going to be judged. This is how this team is going to be judged on what you do in the NCAA tournament. He got it right when he said that the regular season doesn't matter. But this, in terms of the pattern that we're seeing from Kentucky once they get to the big dance, is disturbing to say the least. And there are a lot of people that are part of Big Blue Nation that are on edge right now and wondering what's next in terms of the head coaching spot at Kentucky.
And Calipari spoke postgame after the loss to Oakland. Oakland's head coach, by the way, going to join us at 7:30 a.m. Eastern time, coming off of that huge win. That's going to be fun to talk to him. Calipari spoke about helping so many young men prepare for that next level, but that next level is not necessarily Kentucky.
I've done this with young teams my whole career. And it's going to be hard for me to change that because we've helped so many young people and their families that I don't see myself just saying, okay, we're not going to recruit freshmen. And I mean, the thing that we've been blessed with is families bring their sons to us and we do what we're supposed to do to help them prepare for the rest of their lives.
Okay, he's not wrong about that, and he always defaults to that, right? It's impossible to ignore the amount of millionaires that have come out of Kentucky. Like, it's impossible to ignore that. You could literally build an NBA champion just out of Kentucky players. That's not even difficult. Jamal Murray, Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, the list goes on and on and on and on. But you said it. The Kentucky fan doesn't care. If you said the Kentucky fan right now, we're going to give you a national championship amongst 4- and 5-year players that will never play a moment in the NBA, they will sign up for it. And that's the thing. If I'm sitting there and I'm going to judge Calipari, give me any John Calipari player in the NBA. Just don't give me that player in college because you're not going to win.
Yeah, and that's all fair. And I'm with you on that one. Now, in making sure that we provide the proper context, there have only been two national champions in the one-and-done era. Cal had one back in 2012 with Anthony Davis and MKG. And then I think 2015 Duke was the other one. That's it.
You're saying so across the board? Like
across
the
board. Yeah. Across the board. So this time of year doesn't lend itself to the one-and-done teams. You know, we always want to believe that talent is going to win out, but when you have a guy like Jack Golke who goes off and hits 10 three-pointers, one shot of the NCAA tournament record, like, yeah, like that can happen. You can fall short. You know, guys miss shots. Guys go cold. And that was one of the things that our – bracketologists were evaluating when it came to this field. They were saying, yeah, Kentucky offensively can play with anybody, but defensively, it's not great. And that bared itself out yesterday. But, I mean, when you think about what Coach Cal has done in recent memory, this guy has zero Sweet 16 appearances since 2019. Zero. Only one single NCAA tournament win since 2019. At some point, you have to acknowledge, this ain't good enough, dog. It's been 5 years, and you ain't made it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament? What the hell are we doing? Like, all of the NIL money that they're throwing at all of these kids that are inside of the top 25 players in the country to come to Kentucky to play basketball, you haven't had that translate into postseason success, and that is what we're going to judge you on above all else. So it's disappointing to see that. I mean, mm-hmm. Coach Cal is a huge name brand, but you're starting to wonder whether or not a little bit of the shine is coming off of Coach Cal because of how he's been ousted from the tournament in recent years.
So it certainly hasn't been good enough. I'm sure fans in Kentucky are livid waking up this morning. I'm sure they were livid last night, and that's going to carry on for a while. And I was thinking about the next step in things like this. Okay, it's not good enough. So what's the solution? Are you going to fire him? Do you think that there's a better option
I do.
Than Coach Cal out there? Okay, who's the person?
So I do think there's a better option. I think the person has been there, and I don't know that he would take the job, but if he's not with the current situation he's in after this season, I would hire him, and that's Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan is a better option. Yeah. Billy Donovan Good was coach. An assistant coach with Rick Pitino there. Billy Donovan is a better option to coach Kentucky than John Calipari is. Flat out. Billy Donovan is also the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. The NBA right now is way more attractive than college basketball. But you are 1,000% right, Smalls, to ask the question. It's really easy for us to sit here and present a problem. It's much harder to present a solution. What I'm doing if I'm Kentucky is right now, if you're going to make a change, you got to back channel and get two no's before you even consider what happens with Calipari. You got to get a no from Brad Stevens. Billy Donovan and Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens not going to leave the job he has with the Celtics to take this job. I understand that. But those are the two no's you have to start with. Billy Donovan would be a better head coach in Kentucky for winning games at Kentucky, and he would produce NBA players than John Calipari would be.
Yeah, but that's a $50 million proposition, though, right? When you got to have a $33 million buyout for Coach Cal and then whatever it takes to, in order to get Billy Donovan from the Bulls. That ain't cheap, though.
Nope, it's not.
That ain't cheap.
No, that's a better coaching option.
I'm sure that Kentucky wouldn't have any problem raising the money if they wanted to transition. But, I mean, think about it. You are moving away from a legend in Coach Cal. It's never easy to replace a legend, and you're going to throw a lot of dollars at it to bring over Billy Donovan? I like Billy Donovan as a coach more now than I like Coach Cal. But, I mean, I still have to acknowledge I would have a little cause for pause just because of how expensive it is relative to how that could impact what I'm seeing from the state of affairs with this team right now. Like, how much better does Billy Donovan make this program in the immediacy of that move or that transition? I don't know.
I also think about the state of college athletics right now and with NIL and the transfer portal, how so much of the job is not only recruiting guys from the outside, but recruiting your guys to stay there.
I don't think they're worried about them staying there because Kentucky lives off of the one and done.
Of course.
So I'm just getting you there for a good time, not a long time.
But Coach Cal is such an elite recruiter of high-level talent. Yes. If you're going to move on from him, you have to be sure that the person who comes in and takes the baton can be at that level or higher, and that's a really tough ask.
Yeah, it ain't like World Wide West is still there. He with the Knicks. So good luck with that. Like, that's not going to be easy. I'm serious. Like, that was a key figure in the 2010s for the Kentucky Wildcats. He ain't there no more. So if Cal moves on, a big part of the job for whatever coach steps in there is going to be making sure you can recruit at the same level. Because they're used to watching a certain brand of basketball. They want stars there. Make no mistake about it. They would just prefer to win more once we got to this time of year.
What is John Calipari's job? Is it to help produce NBA players or to win college titles? Because we know he does the first one, and we know he doesn't do the second one. What is his job? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Biggest story of the men's tournament so far, Oakland beating Kentucky. Oakland's head coach is going to join us in about an hour and 15 minutes. Women's tourneys today. You can still fill out your brackets. ESPN Tournament Challenge app. Up to 25 women's brackets. Create and join groups. Compete against us as the app makes it easy to share your champion. Make final four picks across your social channels. Get a deeper dive on the analysis leading up to it. The women's tourney starts today. The ESPN Tournament Challenge app. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits, go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Oakland over Kentucky, biggest story of the first round of the NCAA tournament, besides the fact that the Unsportsmanlike crew is doing very well in the tournament bracket challenge.
Nobody is doing well on the tournament bracket
challenge.
We are.
What are you talking about?
Well, we might be doing all right, but nobody's bracket is perfect, though. Kentucky busted everybody's bracket last night.
They busted mine for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was something like 0.09% of brackets are still intact after the Jack Golke show goes off in the Wildcats.
Don't lose the focus on the fact that you and I are tied for third place. We're doing well. Now you, miss.
What? Where am I at?
Second to last.
That's okay. My national champion is still alive.
Do you know who's in last place, though?
Who's that?
I kind of get a kick out of this. Fortenbaugh.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Fortenbaugh.
All of that brain power when
Joe
it comes
Fortenbaugh
to analytics.
Is in last place
and
in this.
Odds and all of that stuff. Throw it out of the window. But isn't that why we love the NCAA tournament, though?
Yes.
Isn't that why we love March Madness? The games, the outcomes that defy all odds, that make no sense. Like, that's why we love it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I don't care that my bracket is busted. I love that Oakland beat Kentucky. I would rather have the upset and get to watch stuff like that than have my bracket beat.
I can't go that far because Kentucky was a part of my play of the night last night, and
oh,
they
I'm
just
sorry.
Ruined
yes.
it. It's too soon for that. It's just a little too
I'm
soon.
Sorry. All right.
Normally, I would be on board with it. When I cost the people money, I don't
We're
like
We're team
it.
Us first.
We're team us first. We're rooting for us.
Yes.
Unsportsmanlike.
Carlin exactly. versus Joe, two of the last three in the standings, by the way.
Oh, so I'm sandwiched in between
you'll
them.
You'll love to see it, don't you?
That's tough for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough for them. Considering Carlin's talking junk
you'll
on Twitter.
You'll love to see it.
All right, let's talk.
Real quick, by the way, I went to watch Illinois yesterday, and I walk into the bar that I was going to watch the game at, and in the entryway, a big framed photo of Chris Carlin.
Come on.
I swear, what? I took a picture of it and I texted it to him. I was like, I know this guy.
What?
I know.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
Good for him.
He went to that bar when he was hosting Beer Money on SNY.
Where I remember that. With Amber. Yeah, Amber Wilson was
there
on that show too.
Yeah, but a framed photo of Chris Carlin. He's famous in Midtown, let me tell you.
Wow. All right, let's talk to some people out there at 888-SAY-ESPN. The Calipari conversation is fascinating. What is his job? Is it to produce NBA players like he says it is? Or is it to win games in college? Dan in Kentucky listening on 102.7. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how's it going, man? It's simple, man. I appreciate Calipari for the first half of his tenure. One of the best runs we've ever had at Kentucky. But the last 5 years has been a failure, period. You look at the talent. Look how many first-round draft picks he's got. You can't do that and go out in the first round. We've won one tournament game in 4 years. I was a big Cal supporter and have been up to this year, but it's time for him to go. We need somebody else. You say, well, who else are you going to get? Well, there's plenty of coaches that can win one tournament game a year out there, and he's not doing that. His job is to win. We pay him millions of dollars to win. And he should be able to win with NBA talent, but he's not in the last 4 years. He's not. And he's got the talent, but he's not winning. So something has to change.
Yeah, and thanks for the phone call. The way Dan in Kentucky just framed it, there are plenty of coaches out there that can win one NCAA tournament game. That is true. There are not plenty of coaches out there that can produce lottery pick after lottery pick after lottery pick. But as we've said, the Kentucky fans don't actually care about that. William in Louisville watching on ESPN2. What's up, William? All right, William, we got to turn off his radio. Let's talk to Randy in Indiana listening on 680 ESPN. What's up, Randy?
Hey, guys, I've been a Kentucky fan my whole life, 57 years old. Cal is no longer a coach. He is a recruiter and a paid agent of the NBA. He has taken the joy out of March Madness for all the Kentucky fans. He doesn't coach anymore. He got that lifetime contract, which is the worst contract ever, and he's sitting back with his feet propped up and recruiting players, but he forgot about coaching.
Wow, those are some pretty strong words from Randy, saying he's not a coach anymore. He's basically a paid agent. But when you look at the results, he is bringing in the talent, but they're not winning in the tournament. So you can't really argue against that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess any coach in America would say, give me the talent, I'll figure out what to do. It's just that Cal hasn't been able to figure out what to do, and that's the question that we have remaining for him. Can he find a way to get his teams to come together quicker so that when this time rolls around every single year, they have more success and they can at least get past the first weekend? I think one of the interesting parts of this conversation is just thinking about the landscape of collegiate sports as a whole in the NIL era, particularly as it pertains to college basketball. Like, a lot of these other teams are able to poach talent from other schools too. Like, it's a mm-hmm. situation now where because you can pay the student athletes, it almost levels the playing field from a talent perspective. So there are other places to go. So Cal's teams don't necessarily overwhelm their opponents with the overall talent level. So I guess that's a part of the math too. But that only plays itself out or bears itself out once you get to the round of, you know, 16 or better, right? Like, I mean, but when we see in the regular season, why hasn't Kentucky been able to have the success they used to have? And well, it's because the rest of the league is caught up. Why? Because of the NIL money. So I just think that in terms of positioning themselves for this time of year, it's been harder. And then, of course, having success this time of year, it's been harder because everybody else can potentially get the players that Cal is going after. So I think that's a part of the nuance when it comes to what we've seen over the last 5 years from Kentucky basketball.
And he also gets one and done, right? And like yeah. Devin, if you look at Devin Booker, let's just say, an NBA star, so much so that Kevin Durant's like, I got to play with that guy.
Uh-huh.
Go watch him in college. He came off the bench. Yeah. He gets them in their like infancy stages of their professional careers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going, like the names we hear now are not playing that same way when they're 18. Think about anyone in professional life. How are you at 18 versus how are you now if you're older than that
yeah.
professionally? It's
yeah.
the same kind of thing. Ken in Missouri listening on 100.7. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, real quick. So I think I like John Calipari. Good coach. He does produce NBA talent. You know, he also produces strong young men as well, as what we forget, too. But you know, it's kind of a catch-22. You can win a bunch of championships and not push out NBA players, or you can push out NBA players and not win a bunch of championships. It's March Madness, right? So we act like we're surprised that a big powerhouse school lost. A big powerhouse school loses every year, and we're always shocked every year. Like, oh, goodness, they just lost. It happens every year. One of them are going to lose.
Understood, and thanks for the phone call. But it's this team this school with this coach a lot. I do want to point out one thing he just said, because I don't think that has been said, and he's right about that. I just did a quick search, list of Kentucky players currently in the NBA. He's right about the who, right? We know about the what, the who. Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Maxey, Tyler Hero, Jamal Murray. These are good dudes.
Yeah.
Right? So he gets good character guys and good players. They're just not ready to win together in college. That's the problem. And Kentucky fans don't care.
They do not.
They
I was
don't
just going to
say,
they don't care about the names. They care about the results.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You can't not have regular season success and then not have NCAA tournament success either, right? Like, I mean, it's okay, we didn't do well in the tournament, but, you know, I guess being able to contend and win conference championships matters. Win the conference tournament matters. Like, in order to set yourself up to have the easiest path. Like, if you're not the 3 seed, if you're the 1 or the 2 seed, mm-hmm. is it a different result? Potentially. And I guess that's the point that's got to be maddening for you, because you would think throughout the regular season, when you're playing against other schools that are recruiting the same type of talent, one-and-done guys or guys out of the transfer portal, you would be on an even playing field. You would be able to position yourself, but that's not what Cal has been able to do. And as a result, when you have those lesser seeds, even though you're a 3 going up against a 14, you open the door for this type of disappointment, which is why you can't absolve him for blame. Like, if you're looking for the person to point the finger at, he's the person.
No
it
doubt.
All begins and ends with him. So he deserves all of the slings and arrows that are coming his way today. I just don't know that Kentucky can do better than him in the short term by transitioning to a different coach.
You brought up a great point quickly. it's not like they were the one seed.
No.
So it's not like, oh, this is the dominant regular season that falls short in the postseason. This is like, nah, they're fine in the regular season.
They've been mid.
For them, they're mid. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I recognize that last voice there.
Who?
Smalls yesterday said that this would be Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball's worst nightmare, and it seems to be. The latest in the Shohei Ohtani gambling investigation with his interpreter is, I guess, Ohtani's team, Smalls, has now asked for investigators to look into this whole. They're bringing everybody in saying, please, because they're saying, did not know about this.
Yeah, massive theft.
Which is interesting, and I'm not suggesting that that's wrong. I'm suggesting that if you are going to voluntarily say, please, investigators, look into it, you better know you're 100% innocent of everything. Tisha Thompson, who initially reported this, ESPN investigative reporter, she's done an amazing job with this, was on Greeny yesterday and gave the latest as to when all of this and how all of this went down.
Ohtani, who he's not fluent in English, is my understanding. I've gotten that from lots and lots of people. But he's now been in the United States long enough where he can piece together enough words. And he was sitting there and he thought something didn't sound right. And after the meeting concludes, there's meetings, another interpreter is brought in. Ohtani, according to these two sources close to Ohtani's camp, say this is when he learned that there were any bank transfers and when he discovered that money was missing in his bank account. The next thing we know is there is a statement that comes from the lawyers alleging massive theft. They don't name who did it. They just say authorities will be contacted.
Okay, so that's Tisha Thompson. Mm-hmm. And basically that's saying that Ohtani found out for the first time with the entire team. And after Wednesday season opening game in South Korea, Dodgers officials called a clubhouse meeting and told players a negative story was coming out later in the day, a team official said. And Mizuhara apologized, saying that he had a gambling addiction. It was then that the official said that Ohtani understood for the first time that this was happening and began asking questions. This is per ESPN.com information. So again, he, being Ohtani, learned with everyone else on the Dodgers.
The cover-up is starting to feel like it's worse than the crime. Like, this is awful. Like the first report that Tisha Thompson had was Ohtani doing his friend a solid, covering $4.5 million worth of gambling debts.
Right.
Then it's Ohtani didn't know, massive fraud. Then it's the interpreter breaking the news to the rest of the clubhouse before he explained to Ohtani what happened? Is that what I'm supposed to believe? Is that Ipe Matsuhara told the rest of the Dodgers clubhouse in English what happened, and then they got another interpreter for Ohtani, and then Matsuhara broke it down for them so Ohtani could understand the fullness of what took place? The timeline just don't make sense. The math ain't mathing, dog. It's just not. And here's the other part that I was thinking about. We're talking about $4.5 million. Right? This is not chump change, right? Mm-hmm. So you're just thinking about this. $4.5 million that this account, that the interpreter was able to siphon off from Ohtani's accounts, and we saw there were two wire payments that were made of $500,000 each batch in September and October. Like, I mean, is the interpreter also Ohtani's financial advisors? Like, like for you not to know that there's $1 million missing from your bank account? There's nobody that's in place to have checks and balances when it comes to that part of it. It's just too much gray with me for me to believe what they're trying to present to me and take that as face value. I just can't do that just because I've been in the position of being a professional athlete, and I know all of the different people that you have in your orbit to try to protect you against situations where people can steal from you. The fact that this interpreter was able to have carte blanche and do these things without Ohtani having any knowledge of it, it's a hard thing for me to process, digest, and accept.
I'm right there with you. And when Ohtani says that he's welcoming the investigation and wants other people in on this, that is, I'm sure, the first question that they're going to ask. How did he have access to your funds in this way? And how was he able to get the funds without your approval? Because it's just very hard for me to understand a situation where not only you wouldn't notice that millions of dollars is missing from your account, but that the bank or that anyone involved in this financial process would be able to let these transactions go through without speaking to Shohei Ohtani before the money was extracted from his account.
Yeah.
It just feels like a celebrity of this magnitude, there would have to be so many checks and balances in place in order for sums like that to be taken out of the account. And I know that stuff like this happens a lot and that there's fraud and betrayal, and sometimes athletes or people in the public eye that do have money like this are targets and they get taken advantage of. I understand all of that. But unless he was on that account with you, I don't know how this gets through without his notice.
Even if he's on the account with you, like, they gonna check, like, you got financial advisors in place, they gonna check. They gonna be like, hey, there's been something going on. There have been two wire payments that total $1 million in back-to-back months. Somebody gonna check in with him at some point. Like, yeah, okay, it's cool, I'll take your interpreter's word for it, maybe on the first one, but on the second one? And this is $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me, Ev. Like, that's the part, because it's such a big big amount. Like, I struggle with it. But then also the timeline and how the story keeps changing. And I'm wondering what's happening to make the story keep changing. Why does it keep twisting and turning? They keep saying, well, he knew about it and he was looking out for a friend. Well, he didn't know about it. Well, it was massive theft. Well, when did Ohtani know? When did he become aware of what was happening? It feels like it's a different story every single day since it was first reported. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that just only adds to the speculation. And that's why it's hard for me to take anything at face value for any of the key actors in all of this.
Am I understanding this right? That the translator committed a crime, admitted the crime, and then the Dodgers gave him the platform to address the team?
Yeah. And he was still with, and he was still
That doesn't
with,
seem a little odd
and
to
And he's
you?
Still with the team.
Let me tell you something. If someone on our show committed a crime, right? Let's call that person, I don't know, Pat, hypothetically. If somebody committed a crime, do you think Justin, our boss, is like, hey, Pat, go back on the show the next day and address the show?
No.
You're not working here anymore. If we knew you committed a crime and you admitted the crime?
And not only that, it's a crime that was admitted and committed against your biggest star player. Don't you think that,
like, Pat took money from Stephen A. Can you go over to First Take and explain it to Stephen A. and Molly? Like, what?
Am I getting $4.5 million?
with Stephen A. Those are some big numbers. I'm saying, you, it might be. It might be, Pat.
But you get the point. It's like that's a part of this story that I actually missed the first time. Of wait, he commits a crime. Go address the team, and that's the first time Ohtani heard about it with, like, middle relievers. It's like, oh, hey, Joe Kelly, he stole $4.5 million from me, but I'm hearing about it now.
But
for
this
the
is supposed
time?
To be his man's, though. Like, this is supposed to be, beyond just the interpreter, a friend of his,
right?
Like, a really good friend of his. The guy that was an interpreter since 2018, and you stole $4.5 million from him, and you explain it to the team first before you explain
so
it to him.
Crazy.
But you shouldn't have an opportunity to explain. Exactly. It's like, listen, dog, this is gonna come out. This is gonna happen. Let me talk to you, let you know what I'm about to say to the team.
Yeah.
You need to know this is what I did. and then I'll go tell the rest of the locker room. That's not how it went down. That doesn't make sense to try to frame it as if Ohtani was the last one to find out with the Dodgers organization after they laughing and joking from the Soul Series game, the first game that they had against the Padres.
I ain't
buying that.
I'm not either.
Like, think about that. You know that you're about to address the team, say that you've committed massive fraud, that you stole from your best friend and the guy you're supposed to interpret for, the guy that the Dodgers are paying you to make sure that he's on the same page with everybody within the franchise. You're about to tell them in a matter of hours that you did this, and yet you laughing and joking with them in the dugout? It doesn't make sense to me.
Canty, how long do we have to be cool for me to have access to your accounts? And second of all, if he had a ledger, like, he would have been good. Ohtani would have been good.
You know what? You're right. No ledger. I'll tell you what.
No handwritten ledger.
Here we go, the ledger.
The fact that we have all of these questions and the fact that the story keeps changing and the timeline is sus, all of these things is why this is not going to go away anytime soon. This is a story that is going to continue to build and build and build, and we're going to get more and more information, or people are going to be digging for information, and that is a bad thing for Major League Baseball.
But based on how the facts keep changing and how the story keeps changing, how am I supposed to believe that all of these people that are in place around Shohei Ohtani and even Shohei Ohtani himself were ignorant to all of it? Like, why are you asking me to believe that, accept that? I can't. You keep changing the story. I guess, and here's the thing. When things get reported, I understand there are tangents, it evolves. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to see just how far things go. I get all of that. But when the facts that have been reported ultimately shift and change, like, that's when I think it opens it up to a heightened degree of speculation and, dare I say, skepticism. And without trying to be accusatory, I just, as a professional athlete, I don't buy that you don't know somebody is siphoning off $4.5 million of your money to pay off whatever kind of gambling debts that you might have.
It's weird. I've just been told that Pat and Nuno have taken control of a home in South Carolina, that they just put it in their name now. I don't know where they got it from, but
wow.
Just saying.
Probably didn't happen.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Kentucky out of the NCAA tournament, the biggest story from day one in the tourney. And the Unsportsmanlike crew doing very well on the Tournament Challenge brackets. You can check it out on the Tournament Challenge app. You can still sign up for the women's bracket, as you get up to 25 chances to do that. That starts today with the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. There is some football news. So we are getting ready for the draft. We are, almost a month away from the NFL draft in Detroit, where the three of us will be, plus Nuno. Nuno will be there as well, our producer.
All right, Nuno coming.
So we had Fluno for Florida, Nuno.
Duno? Detroit, Nuno.
Duno. We'll have Duno. The debut of Duno coming up.
We will not. Duno? I'm putting a kibosh on that one.
But Nuno, you have to be fair. Fluno kind of flowed a little bit.
Yes, that one was
you getting
great.
Your mani and pedis in Florida.
He really embraced that vibe.
When we went to Florida?
That one was great. I might be lost and just unconsolable if things play out the wrong way in this draft.
Oh, with the Giants, yes.
Yeah.
Could they be open for business? Maybe. The Arizona Cardinals, their general manager, Monty Osenfort.
What's his name again?
Monty Osenfort.
Okay.
And you know where he came from? Mm. Bill Belichick and the Patriots, I assume he's good. Anyway, so he has the number 4 pick in the draft. We assume that the quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, and 3. Osenfort had a presser yesterday and talked about number 4.
There'll be a big neon sign that says open, and I don't like it blinking. That kind of messes with my eyes, but yeah, we're always going to be listening.
open for business. Big neon sign, no blinking, though, that's open for business. What does Arizona at 4 open for business actually mean?
That means that if you want one of the top 4 quarterbacks in this class, you've got to get inside of the top 5. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. We know quarterbacks are going off the board 1, 2, 3 with Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. That's going to happen. But now J.J. McCarthy seems to be picking up some momentum after the scouting combine. There were people that fell in love with the way that he presented himself. He's got his pro day today, if I'm not mistaken. So I know a lot of the NFL world will be there in Ann Arbor to check him out and watch him throw the football. But if you're one of those teams that are targeting a quarterback that's outside of the top 10, you're going to have to get up. So that means that if you're at 11 like the Minnesota Vikings, or if you're at 12 like the Denver Broncos, 13 the Las Vegas Raiders, you're going to have to get up inside of the top 5 in order to get a quarterback. Now, a team that becomes really interesting is the New York Giants, mm-hmm. who are sitting there at 6. And I had an opportunity to talk to Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants beat for ESPN yesterday, and he said that the Giants are in the quarterback business. They are looking at all of these quarterbacks and are evaluating them. So because he's in the building, he is in the know, you would just assume that if the Giants are truly targeting a quarterback at the top of this year's draft, they're going to have to move up from 6 in order to get to that place. And the only spot where you can guarantee that you get one of the top 4 is at number 4. And with the Arizona Cardinals coming out and saying what they said yesterday, that is now the new pivot point in this year's draft.
I would imagine that the phone in Arizona is ringing off the hook, because there are teams, the 4 you mentioned specifically, that should be in the quarterback business and that would be willing to move up. But what is it going to take? What will Arizona have to field? What offer would they have to field in order for them to move away from Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because that's obviously a piece that would be huge for them and huge for Kyler Murray. It's definitely a first. It's definitely probably a second. And then, I don't know, maybe a I was going to say a third pick in there too, maybe like a 4th or a 5th.
Well, I think it's interesting. It depends on who you're doing the dance with, right? Because if it's the New York Giants, if you're sliding back to 6, you're going to guarantee yourself one of the top 2 receivers or the top offensive lineman in the draft. Like, that's just what's going to happen. Like, you have to deal with whoever the LA Chargers are going to take at 5. I think they would be in the receiver market, so let's just assume that that's Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, then you're going to have your pick of Joe Alt or Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Arizona puts themselves in a good position, and they can still pick up more draft capital. So I don't necessarily look at it as a bad thing if they want to slide back. It's just a matter of, is that offer from the Giants going to be enticing enough combined with the grades that they have on the prospects that will be available at 6 versus with the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders would have to get up to get inside of the top 5. Because mm-hmm. then you are talking about a first-round pick plus.
Yeah.
These comments by Ostenfort yesterday tell me 2 things. Number 1, J.J. McCarthy, in many people's eyes, is not as far away from May, Daniels, and Williams as the initial process started out looking like. And number 2, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr., huge name, huge build, etc., is not that far removed from Nabers or any other Dunze, that maybe they're all a little bit closer than we think, right? Because if you're going to sit there and say, we're fine passing on Marvin Harrison Jr., that means you think you can get somebody else that would be equal value lower in the draft, whomever that may be. And that also means that you believe that someone is going to be willing to give you an arm and a leg to get to 4 to take J.J. McCarthy and not just wait for him to slip. Because I would have thought, prior to these comments, 5 was the turning point of the draft. Right, the Chargers, who I've continuously said need to operate as if they're really good, even though they're not, because I think they have maneuverability because Harbaugh and Herbert are there. I would have thought that was the pick that was going to go, and now it seems like 4 could go, which is surprising to me, honestly.
I mean, hearing Austin Ford's comments, I feel like 4 will go. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that they're going to trade down. It's just a matter of how far are they willing to go back in order to guarantee them the guy that they're targeting or a guy that they would feel good about.
Well, then let's do the who says no, because we got an easy team. Minnesota, 11-23 for 4. Who says no? Minnesota guarantees themselves J.J. McCarthy. At 11-23, if you want line and wide receiver play, if you're Arizona, you could probably get both, right? I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
But not your first options.
Not your first options. That would be the thing. That would be the thing.
All right, let me flip it on you then. What if you get 11-23 and something else? What else?
Yeah, now there's something else that comes into matter. Like, if it's 2 ones and a 3, then all of a sudden I got to consider that, right?
Yeah.
And then what if you move back up to the Chargers? You say, okay, we're going to give you Minnesota's pick to get back up to 5, and you get Harrison Jr. anyway.
I don't know. That's
and Kevin Costner would make the moves.
Yeah, I'm about to say that sounds a little far-fetched, but I get where you're coming from, and that's probably – how this will go. There'll be a lot of jumping around inside of the top 10, but I got to believe that Arizona is in the business of moving back. It's just making sure that the offer that whatever team does the dance with them is so compelling that they don't consider any of the other options. And that's why if you're the New York Giants at six, this is such a tough spot to be in because mm-hmm. even though the draft value trade chart would suggest that you would have to give up a second or a third round pick, they're going to make you pay a premium because you're going after the quarterback and because these other teams want it. So what would you be willing to give up if you're a general manager, Joe Shane, in order to do that? And to me, that's what's so fascinating about it. One of the things that Jordan Renan told me yesterday is that the $23 million injury guarantee for Daniel Jones in 2025 is factoring into their decision on what they're doing this offseason at the quarterback spot. Knowing the injury history of the player, knowing that he's coming off of a knee reconstruction, how much do we want to put Daniel Jones out there on the football field this year? That explains why they went out and got Drew Lock. That explains why they're in the quarterback business. I mean, if you're Joe Shane, think about it. You gave this guy a $160 million contract, and to date, he's only played four games under that deal. That could become one of the most massive, massive mistakes that we've seen a Giants general manager make in some time to give over that kind of contract for a guy that is not going to be on the team beyond 2024. But that's what it's shaping up to be. Oof. And if you're making the decisions on what your quarterback room is going to be, you're hedging against making an already bad deal any worse by locking in a $23 million injury guarantee in 2025. So I could absolutely see a world where the Giants put Daniel Jones in bubble wrap, where Drew Lock is their bridge to this young quarterback that they draft early on. But that puts so much more pressure on them to get this decision right in going after your guy at quarterback when you are the general manager.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.